Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
News in Chicago sports today. Adrian Wojnarowski saying that the Bulls will begin a search for their top executive who will have full authority on basketball decisions and operations. So that was breaking news today. And also earlier today, the Chicago Bears met the media via a teleconference. And the Bears are going to have an open quarterback competition between Mitchell Trubisky and Nick Foles. To me, that is a welcome, refreshing thing to hear from the Chicago Bears. Over the course of the last couple of years, it seems like they've done everything in their power to protect, to coddle, and to kind of nudge along Mitchell Trubisky to hope that the tyke, the little tyke, could get it. Finally, he could ride his bike without training wheels. And each and every time, it seems like he misses the training wheels by 15 yards out of bounds. See why I did that? That was the training wheels and the pass out about. You get what I'm saying, right? And yeah. And so finally, the Bears are not protecting the kid. They're going to let him go out there. And if he wins the job, he wins the job. And that's the way it should be. Shouldn't it? This is the NFL, right? This isn't hoping. Let's make sure he's happy. Let's do. No. Go out there and win the job and be the best quarterback. And if you can't, the franchise has to move along. You are not the savior, and we will be fine. You know why? Because we've lived in this city our entire lives, and we've never had a good quarterback. So we're fine moving on to the next one, because it's just what we do.
Jay Cutler was a good quarterback.
Yeah, he was all right for a minute, but still, he wasn't the answer. And we'll be fine if we have to ditch on the side of the road Trubisky and go find the next quarterback. We'll be fine with that. And I'm happy, finally, the team is taking the approach that this will be a competition, someone win it, and you're going to be the guy.
I took the news today, Chris, out of Hallis Hall teleconference from Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. I took this as the Bears have a new quarterback. If you're going to open up a competition with Nick Foles, who knows everyone on that staff, he's literally been a quarterback under every single head coach or a coach, offensive coach in that building. There is no way that he loses a job to Mitchell Trubisky. He is a better quarterback. He may not be a better quarterback by much. He knows the system. He knows how to get rid of the ball. He has the basic mechanics of a successful quarterback. He is going to win that job. Now, the question is, can he stay healthy and can he maintain the job? That's going to be the question. Because if you have a legitimate competition between Nick Foles and Mitchell Trubisky, I don't believe that there is a single universe that exists where Nick Foles loses this job. There are a million universes out there. Not a single one of them involves a scenario where Nick Foles loses to Mitchell Trubisky. They're all the same in that one regard. All the universes can be different.
All the universes. They're all the same.
All the universes are completely different.
Yeah.
Completely different, except for one regard. Nick Foles beats Mitch Trubisky in a competition. Simple as that.
Well, I mean, there are some scenarios where it could play the other way.
It doesn't.
Like, you could find a world in the Rick and Morty universe where you jump into a portal and all the Trubiskys are bigger than Nick Foles.
You could.
Right? Like, Trubiskys could be 12 feet tall, and they're the guys who win the quarterback position based on their height.
They'd be too tall, then, to play quarterback. That's such a thing. There's such a thing as too tall quarterbacks.
There could be the world, a different portal you jump into, where Nick Foles has no arms. Trubisky would still be the quarterback.
He'd throw with something else.
What would that be, Adam?
His foot.
What if there was a world where football was played backwards, and instead of throwing it, you were kicking it? Instead of running it, you were flying with it? Well, no, you're right. I guess if that's the world, if that's the Rick and Morty world, I would guess that Nick Foles would probably win in that world, too. I think you're right.
It's because he's got three legs.
I think you're right. Let's hear from Ryan Pace. He talked today about the signings and free agency and the focus on the quarterback competition, which Ryan Pace brought up himself. He is the one to set the tone for this teleconference. This is the first thing Ryan Pace said today. Here it is.
In relation to free agency, we signed a number of guys. You know, understand the focus is on the quarterback position. It's been a focus for us. With the addition of Nick Foles, is exactly what we talked about from the start. We've increased competition at a critical position, and we talked to both players, and the way we view this is it's an open competition. And credit to both those guys for embracing it. We've also talked about this a lot, but it's the factor that I steadily lean on is the collaboration between our coaches and our scouts, the collaboration between Matt and I. And I think that's a strength for us right now more than ever.
Here's more from Ryan Pace on Trubisky and Foles.
I think just real quick, you know, Mitch is a competitor. I think when you're built that way, you know, competition brings out the best in you. And I think, you know, Matt and I had that discussion with him, and you could feel that in him right away, just kind of that, okay, hey, you know, let's go, you know, what's best for the team, and this is going to bring out the best in all of us. And I think the key word is just that, you know, he embraced the competition. And I think they're both looking forward to it.
After Ryan Pace spoke, Matt Nagy joined the teleconference, and he talked about the free agents and then, obviously, the quarterback competition between Nick Foles and Mitchell Trubisky.
Number one, what we're trying to do is what's best for the Chicago Bears, plain and simple. That's what it comes down to. And so, like I was saying, Ryan and I have had great talks with both of them. What's important and what y'all are going to find out in this process is going to be real simple. It's going to be very transparent and very honest. And so what I thought was really neat when we just talked to Mitch, which speaks to who he is you could feel how much of a competitor, and you know it and you see it. He's a competitor now. He's embracing it and excited to get back to work. You know, with that said, part of the conversation that you know, we discussed too was understanding here the big picture is, I know that Mitch gets a lot of this, but you know, we could have been a lot better coaching schematically, and I could have been a better head coach, and then we all know, you know, we can always be better players around him as well. So that's a focus there. But Mitch is really embracing it. He's had an unbelievable personality throughout it. He understands it. All he wants to do is be the best quarterback he can be for the Chicago Bears, and that's what he's going to do as we move on here. Nick, the same thing. You know, I have a history with Nick. I know who he is as a person. He's been great as well. He's a special person, and Ryan and I looked into that, knowing that when this went down, and I think that's very important that we don't lose sight of that as we go through this competition. He's been in this position before, and he's handled it great. You know, I personally went through it with him in Kansas City. A little different, but I know obviously who he is. It's going to be a process evaluated over time. And it, like Ryan said, it's a collaboration of Ryan, some of the guys on his staff, myself, and then along with Bill Lazor, Dave Ragone, John DiFilippo. And those guys all have extensive background with quarterbacks, and we're looking forward to that. You know, we're not there yet. You guys will have questions, but we'll have a great plan on how to evaluate it. And then, you know, ultimately what it really comes down to is winning, scoring points, you know, physical and mental toughness, and then obviously command and leadership with some other things.
So that's Matt Nagy on the teleconference earlier today at Hallis Hall. Chris Black and Adam Abdallah talking Bears with you at 312-332-3776. You know, we're talking about this competition between the two. The Bears probably have the best backup in the league. The problem is now, with Trubisky being your backup, is Nick Foles is an upgrade. But by how much? You know what I'm saying? And John with no H tweets us at Adam A. Abdallah and at Chris Bleck. Foles is probably going to suck too, but at least it's a different kind of suck. Isn't that perfect for what this situation is for the Bears? Because, yeah, you can be pie in the sky that they finally have a new quarterback, but chances are it's like, if you're really over the top pro Nick Foles, you've probably never seen him play. Like, I watched him last year with Jacksonville. He wasn't that good. There's a reason he was available via trade, right? Like, it's just going to be a little bit better.
Yeah, but
a little. Is it enough to make up the difference?
But in a world where you can't have, I agree with the premise of, or with the reasoning of, you can't bring these guys in for workouts, and you can't have having a guy on your team that has more familiarity with your offense is better. Like, there's a reason that Bridgewater picked the Carolina Panthers because of his familiarity with Joe Brady and his offense, right?
Right.
There's a reason that Tom Brady picked Tampa. He studied Bruce Arians' offense a lot and thinks he can handle it and knows it very well, right? So I feel like there's a benefit to having Nick Foles in here, because he may be, while he may not physically have it all because he's older and has had injuries, mentally he knows what to do, and he also knows where to put the ball, and he can actually put the ball there, unlike Trubisky, who's like, oh no, and just throws it away.
Can he be better than 17 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, 38 sacks, 5 fumbles, and 3 game-winning drives last season in 15 games from Mitchell Trubisky?
Yes.
Okay, he can. Can he be like Alex Smith his last year with the Chiefs?
Yeah.
Is that possible?
Yeah, why not?
To be the leader in the league in passing rating?
Maybe.
Let's go to John Schomburg. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, John?
Hey, so earlier you guys were talking about alternate universes.
Yes.
I'm a big comic book guy, so I'm all about alternate universes.
Give it to us.
I agree. In this alternate universe, there's no way Mitch Trubisky beats out Nick Foles. Now, nobody, though, is going, oh, my God, yes, we signed Nick Foles. You know, we got Nick Foles. Nobody's celebrating to the end of the world as if this is like a superstar quarterback. There's two things that come out of this. One, either makes Mitch better, which we win. Right? Like, that's a benefit for us. He makes him better. Maybe he comes out and becomes a better quarterback. Or we have Nick Foles starting. And if he's better than Mitch, which all signs point to that, at least the guy's won a Super Bowl. And it's not like he, like, inherited a second half of the Super Bowl where he was up 30. No, he went on a complete playoff run. So to have that kind of knowledge behind him and know that that may be what he'd be able to bring to the Bears, that's great, but why don't we address the offensive line? How about we help protect our quarterback no matter who's back there? Thanks, guys.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, John. And to John's point, I was looking this up earlier today. Pro Football Focus had their offensive line rankings for the end of this season. Just looking at the division that the Bears play in, the Bears have the worst offensive line per Pro Football Focus at the end of this season in the division. They were ranked 25th in the National Football League as far as a unit for the offensive line. The Vikings were second from the bottom, 18th in the National Football League. The Lions ranked 11th, and the Green Bay Packers 6th. If you want to beat the Pack, the Bears have to have a better offensive line, because if Aaron Rodgers is upright and Robert Quinn and Khalil Mack have a harder time to get at Aaron Rodgers, there ain't no way you're going to beat the Packers. Like, I get it. The offense might be improved, but the offensive line for the Bears needs to be improved enough that Nick Foles stays upright and they move the ball down the field and they score points.
No, absolutely. And that's why, a couple hours ago we went through the teams that the Bears are going to have to face and then the teams that made the playoffs and the teams that are on the rise. I don't know if Nick Foles is enough to get this team past 8-8. He could be worth one or two more wins, but is 10-6 going to get you into the playoffs this year? It might, because you have an extra playoff team, but that's not what you should be relying on. This is a championship caliber defense. I want a championship caliber offense to go along with it.
312-332-3776. Your calls on the Bears next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Matt Nagy earlier today on the quarterback competition between Nick Foles and Mitchell Trubisky. Here's the coach of your Chicago Bears.
The unique part about football is there's one quarterback, right? And so human nature has you when you sit down and have a discussion like this, you know that there's one starter, and so we're all competitors. These guys haven't made it to this point without being competitive guys, and they've been that way their whole life. So I don't care who you are. If you're a competitor and you care, you know, right away, you're going to be fired up and you're going to be ready to go. You're going to embrace it. And there's a couple ways to look at it. And you either do that or you shy away from it. And the competitor that Mitch is, with the way that he was with us, was really neat to see because he embraced it. And it wasn't about excuses. It wasn't about anything other than, okay, I understand that. I'm going to give you everything that I got. We're going to compete, and you're going to get the best that I got. And I think that's what's pretty neat in this whole process. And so when we look at that as coaches, that's all we can ask for, is trying to make sure that we do everything we can possibly do on our end to make this completely fair, let them go out, play football, and be the best quarterback that they can possibly be. If that's the case and that happens, we're going to be in a good place.
So that's Ryan. That's Matt Nagy earlier today talking about the quarterback competition on the teleconference that the Chicago Bears had this morning. So when you look at this situation, heading into the competition, you think automatically Nick Foles is the guy.
Yeah.
I agree. I just think that they are going to actually have a real competition. I think the nightmare of Monday, Trubisky won. Tuesday, Foles won. Wednesday, Foles again. Thursday,
Foles again. Friday, yeah, Foles
but Mitch,
again.
But
Saturday,
Mitch,
Foles
but,
again.
But Mitch looked good in three throws.
But Friday, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think we are going to do that back and forth throughout camp and into the preseason. If it's a normal preseason, it probably won't be. But whatever we get before week one of the NFL season, Matt Nagy addressed who is the number one at this moment. You think Foles will be the starter from the very first practice. Matt Nagy says differently. I think we'll hear what he has to say. Is Mitch the number one right now? Here's Matt Nagy.
When we walk out on the first day, whenever it is, whether it's OTAs or whether it's training camp, Mitch will be going first in the huddle. And those guys know that. That's not news to them. That's not something that they're hearing for the first time. The one thing that, again, you guys will realize about Nick Foles is that he's very aware. He understands what's going on. He understands the situation. And that's another part of this too, is that. And so, Mitch is going to be out there, but at the same time, it's going to be equal. And we as coaches need to make sure we do the right thing in regards to equal reps, and make sure that they're playing with similar or the same players on offense and going against the same players on defense. So there'll be some juggling that we have to do. It might be a little different at times on how we do it, how we get to it. But I can promise you this, it's going to be completely fair. It's going to be extremely competitive in a good way. It's going to be a healthy competitiveness. And, in the end for us, it's going to be a collaboration of what we all feel. And it's I think that that's all that those guys really ask for and want as competitors. And then the other thing, too, that I just want to say is it's easy to say wherever this takes us, whenever it is that we end up naming a starter, this is a process. And so with that becomes responsibilities of winning and playing well. And so we want to make sure that as we do this, those guys know that, and they already know it. So that's where we're at with that.
Real quick, just with me, and I think when you say open competition, this is an open competition. They've both been told that. I think it's the best way to do it. And I think the good thing is just honesty and transparency with both players as we go through it. And, we want what's best for the Chicago Bears. It's as simple as that. And that really applies to any position on our team. And for this situation, hey, let these guys battle it out. Let the process naturally happen. And over time, that decision will be made.
See, that was a very nice cut from Matt Nagy. And then Ryan Pace had to get in there at the end to kind of fumble that at the end.
Well, let's just make sure that the best thing is transparency, and we're all going to be honest with each other.
But that's not how you've
and
acted towards Trubisky the entire time.
And Nick can come in and do whatever he wants, but ultimately I'm going to decide it's going to be Trubisky.
Your coach had a perfect answer there. I thought that was a great answer.
What you got to understand is that
then here comes Ryan Pace at the end.
This is an open competition, and
what is he doing there?
He wants the spotlight.
Because when Ryan Pace started chiming in at the end of this cut, a 2-minute cut there, I thought it was a very nice Matt Nagy cut. At the end, Ryan Pace chiming in at the end, the first thing I thought of is, yeah, but it hasn't always been like that. Like, you said that's what you want for your team, but that's not really how you've handled this team. Trubisky's just been the starter because there were times last year where he was not the best quarterback. Was Chase Daniel a good option? No.
That's the problem. That's the problem is you've never had a legitimate backup who you could be like, you know what? We can win with him. It's fine.
But they didn't even let that happen. You see what I'm saying? Like Trubisky was playing poorly and they just continued to run him out there.
Yeah.
And then he was injured. I'm doing air quotes in the studio.
He was not injured.
Well, I mean, you know, at the end of the Rams game, he was injured.
His non-throwing
He took the injury news very, very hard on the sideline.
You don't cry when you got hurt?
There were no confirmation of tears. Did you see tears? There was just a warm embrace on the sideline.
Cry on the inside.
Well, yes, you could cry on the inside. Here's Matt Nagy talking about Nick Foles' command of the offense. Well, we'll find out here in 45 seconds whether or not Ryan Pace jumps in too.
Nick is at a point right now where he could get by and get through a game because he would understand the words and the concepts, but not fully to where, you know, he needs to be. So there's, and again, it's kind of like riding a bike. You're able to, you know, and you get back onto it. You hear some words, some plays that you heard in the past and you remember all of a sudden, and it's different languages, you know, that he's been in the last couple of years, just some tweaks here or there, nothing major. So, but right now he could go out and play. And I think, he would do well just because we'd have to keep it simple and let him just, do his thing by playing, and playing football like he normally does.
Okay, so that's Matt Nagy. So something we haven't talked about is this open competition for Bears quarterback. How do you think this is going to go down if there's not actually an offseason? If there's not actually a training camp, if they don't have a preseason, if for some reason the football season gets moved back or changed completely due to the COVID-19 pandemic.
Doubleheaders.
I don't think doubleheaders is going to do it for football. Okay. But, how do you think this plays out? If they don't have a normal training camp, how do you figure out a quarterback competition without getting out there and running the practices?
You don't. At that point, it's Mitch's job until he loses it because of the familiarity. Mitch has been our starter for 2 years. Mitch has a familiarity with our personnel and our offense.
Well, you just heard Nagy talk about the command of the offense. Who's more familiar with the offense?
Mitch, he's been there.
I think you could argue that
Has Nick Foles thrown a pass to Allen Robinson yet?
No, he hasn't.
Okay, has Nick Foles thrown a pass to has he thrown in the backfield to Tariq Cohen?
No, he hasn't.
Has he handed the ball off to anyone wearing a Bears uniform?
Like a David Montgomery?
Yeah.
No.
Has he thrown a pass? Well, I guess Jimmy Graham doesn't really count. Has he thrown a pass or attempted to overthrow Adam Shaheen?
No.
Okay. It's Mitch's job if there's no offseason.
But when you say commanding an offense, I'm not talking about throwing to the specific chemistry of the receivers. I'm talking about knowledge of the offense. And I feel as if Nick Foles might walk in day one and have more knowledge base of the offense than Trubisky over the course of the last two seasons. Think about it. This offseason, what was the one thing that Nagy kept saying when he had to talk publicly? He wished that Trubisky knew the offense better.
Yeah.
I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities that when they show up for day one, that Nick Foles knows the offense better than Trubisky.
I think that they would still go through and say that his familiarity with the personnel would put him ahead of Nick Foles right now. That Trubisky knowing the receivers and having the rapport with the receivers will put him ahead of Foles because Foles hasn't had that chance yet. Just because of that, if there is no offseason. Now, that being said, I think that I don't think that there is a scenario where they just say, football, start. You know? There's going to be...
Yeah, there's going to be a ramp-up period.
There's going to be a ramp-up period, and there is where
No matter what takes place.
No matter what takes place, there's going to be a ramp-up period, no matter how small it is. So there's going to be an opportunity for Foles to win this job regardless. They're not just going to say, season starts tomorrow. Get it going.
That'd be nice if they could start tomorrow. That'd be great.
I mean, yeah. It'd be awesome.
Blacken Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. ESPN Chicago and the Illinois broadcasters are uniting against hunger. 8 food banks in Illinois are responding to critical need for food caused by COVID-19 and the pandemic. Your gift will be processed by the Greater Chicago Food Depository and the Northern Illinois Food Bank. Your donation with you can donate without leaving your home. The new goal is $1.25 million. The Illinois Children's Healthcare Foundation is now matching every dollar donated up to $200,000. Go to feedingillinois.org/unite, or you can text FEEDIL to 91999. Your generous gift will help make families in our community have enough to eat. Black and Abdallah with you. Justin Turner, the Dodgers baseball player, has an idea for Major League Baseball and extra innings. We talk about it next.
You are listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
Talked about the idea tonight that there is a lot of news happening in Chicago sports. Black and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000. I have this Justin Turner proposes a home run derby to end extra innings in Major League Baseball games going forward. I think this is a good story.
It's a great story.
Something I would like to talk to you about.
Compelling and rich.
But things continue to happen here tonight.
But the NBA is getting petty.
On the program. You are aware, and if you're not, there was news earlier today that the Chicago Bulls are seeking a top executive with full authority on basketball decisions. This is per Adrian Wojnarowski on ESPN.com. The Chicago Bulls have embarked on a formal search and the process to hire a top executive with full authority on basketball decisions, a source tells ESPN. The Bulls plan to talk with several candidates to lead the franchise and expect to have new leadership well before the league resumes play following the NBA shutdown because of the coronavirus pandemic. Interviews will start next week and will be conducted electronically, the sources said. So this was reported earlier today on ESPN.com. Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted out, story filed to ESPN.com, the Chicago Bulls have started a formal search in the process to hire a top executive with full authority on basketball decisions. That tweet was out there. We now have movement. There is a name in the NBA who has responded to said tweet by Adrian Wojnarowski. And I think it's kind of interesting, Abdallah. There's a name, and it's a name that's a big name who I think many people were saying, hey, that would be a cool name to run the Bulls organization.
They did?
That guy's famous. Yeah, people said that.
About him?
When we were doing shows, yes.
No, they didn't.
Hands down. We took calls.
They didn't.
Yes, on Cap and Company
really?
And on Waddle and Sylvie, people were suggesting that's a name that the Bulls should look into to try and run this organization because he's famous, he has cachet,
can I make the
he
joke?
Has championship rings, and he is someone who could get free agents to talk to our franchise.
Can I make the joke?
Go ahead.
If anyone knows how to get money out of the Bulls, it's this guy. Do I need to give any more clues away? Why do I get that sound? That was a good joke.
Well, I mean, it's
you laughed. Sean is shaking his head. Do you know who I'm talking about,
here,
Sean? Say whether or not you know. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yes, I know who you're talking
about. It's a good joke. That is a that is restaurant quality.
Yeah, it's a heck of a joke.
In the words of one Jonathan Hood, that is restaurant quality.
It was low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
Sometimes those are the best jokes.
Yeah. He picked off the fruit and he ate it. Yeah.
No one else said it. You didn't say it. Yeah. You didn't say it. Here. Sean, you didn't say it.
It was a bad joke.
To appease you, I will give you the Rachel Ray laugh from when we had her on our show. There you go. You get that. That's
thanks.
Rachel Ray. When we talked to Rachel Ray from the Food Network, and there you go for your joke.
It's the first thing I thought of.
So here's the name. You're like, who are they talking about? And based on Abdallah's joke, hold on. Dwayne Wade, 8 minutes ago, quote tweeted Adrian Wojnarowski's tweet about the Chicago Bulls and the story being filed to ESPN. Dwayne Wade tweets, I know somebody. I know someone.
Now, is he talking about himself, or is he saying he knows someone? Maybe he does know someone.
Perhaps he does.
Right.
He's close with the Heat organization. And Joe Cowley in the Sun-Times is reporting that the Bulls are looking into the way the Heat do their business in their front office. And they would like to take players from the Heat, players in the front office, to run their front office.
Didn't he play with Shane Battier?
I believe he did.
Okay, there you go. He knows Shane Battier.
He knows everyone down in South Beach.
He knows everybody.
Or is he talking about himself? Is he the someone? Does he know someone? Is he the someone? Does he know himself? Do you want Dwayne Wade running the team?
No,
I don't.
Overpaid Dwayne Wade again.
Can I answer immediately and say I don't want that?
I don't want Dwayne Wade running this team. I want someone with experience. I want someone who has been in the front office. I want someone who knows. Look, it can be a former player. I'm not saying that it can't be a former player. I would love Shane Battier to come over here and run the Bulls. I'd be fine with that. I want someone who has experience, who knows what it's like to be in a front office. Not just Dwayne Wade texting his friends and getting them to come play for the Bulls because he knows they'll hand out money.
I just think it's fascinating because we're this is going to happen. This is going to be fast and furious, and I think the key from Adrian Wojnarowski's story from earlier today is that the Bulls plan to talk to the candidates and to land and have someone in place to run the franchise and to lead the franchise. They're expecting to have new leadership well before the league resumes play following the NBA shutdown because of the coronavirus pandemic. That means the Bulls are going to make a move sooner than later, and they're going to have this in place before whatever the NBA season that will finish takes place. Whether or not there's a 10-game finish to the season and then they do the playoffs, whether the league just goes right to the playoffs, whether they say, hey, guys, all we can salvage here is the top two teams in each conference. We can give you the conference finals based on the standings, mm-hmm. and we will give you a champion off of that, and then we are going to move forward to next season. I think it's fascinating that Wojnarowski puts in the column that the Bulls want to have this in place before play resumes in this shutdown period due to the coronavirus.
Does Dwayne Wade send the what up text? He knows he's got Paxson's number. Does he send it to Reinsdorf? Does he say, Jerry, what up?
Well, let me ask you this.
What up?
How do you think things ended there?
Not great.
I mean, they did cut they did get him his money on the way out. But, like, I don't know. Can I speak for Bulls fans?
It doesn't do it for me.
I don't want to be involved there. I just think it's interesting. The reason we're bringing it up is the news today from Wojnarowski clearly has gotten the attention to the league, right? Like, everyone else is sitting, waiting to find out how we're all going to get through this. And finally, the Bulls are taking advantage of something that's in their favor, right? No one else is conducting business around the league. Everyone's in quarantine. Everyone's waiting. Giannis Antetokounmpo is talking about how he's stuck at home. He doesn't have a basketball gym in his
house.
Which
I find very hard to believe.
Well, not all basketball players have their own personal gym.
I don't say he needs a personal gym, but 9 out of 10 houses in the suburbs have a basketball hoop in front of them.
How do you know he doesn't live in like a condo, like in an apartment building?
Your condo has a basketball hoop.
It's been closed for 3 weeks.
Yeah, he's Giannis.
Well, but the point being is like
everybody up on me.
Building amenities have been closed due to the coronavirus. I'm just telling you.
Can you order a basketball hoop on Amazon?
You probably can. I'm sure they have those. So the point is the league is taking notice, right? And the Bulls are going to own next week based on the news and the rumor mill and who they interview for this position. And who that person, whoever that is, decides to start selecting talent to come join him here in Chicago. Like, this is a very positive day if you're a Bulls fan, because things have now been set in motion, and it seems like there is light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, and I think it's good for Bulls fans as long as it's not Dwayne Wade.
I'm hoping it's not Dwayne Wade also. I just think it's funny that he's suggesting that he knows someone.
Like you guys said during the All-Star Game weekend when you guys had conversations and were doing your inquiries around the stadium and everything.
We were sleuthing. We were like the Hardy Boys.
It kind of seems like they did their due diligence and did most of their research that weekend so that this could be fast and furious once they whittled down the list to the guys that they want.
Yeah, and I think Sean, to the point there is also things didn't get better after the All-Star break, right? So, like, there was no hope for things turning around. So I think the final nail in the coffin was like, yeah, guys are still injured. It's not winning games. This isn't going anywhere. People have told us what they think about our team around the league. Mm-hmm. We gotta move. We gotta do something else here with what we're doing.
I just, who does he mean? I need to know. Stop. See, Dwayne Wade's also the king.
Worry.
He's also the king of trolling too, though. Like, he knows what he's doing. He knows we're doing this right now. He's like, watch this. Y'all playing 2K?
Well, it could certainly be Shane Battier.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be opposed to that. And that's a name that I've mentioned on this station for months. In fact, I think even last summer I was suggesting that that's the name the Bulls should be looking at, because not only is he a smart guy, he's the head of the analytical department for the Miami Heat. I think we all know, as a player, he was a very smart player. He played above his talent level because he was so smart, right? Mm-hmm. Very good defensively, spot-up three-point shooter, played on various good teams in the league. He has connections to stars, to former stars. He's the type of guy. He's played with some of the best. He's the type of guy we'd be looking at.
Okay. Now, Twitter, with 15 minutes left in our show here, now you're just getting messy. I'll tell you what next.
What do you mean?
There's more messiness.
About the NBA?
No. About the other team that made news today.
The Bears?
Yes.
Jumping back in?
Yes.
All right, Bears news next.
To Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
News tonight. Bears, Bulls, Chicago sports on fire. Black and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000, ESPN Chicago app. Abdallah, remind me to get to this story. Make sure we don't talk too much before we end, because I've got a good story here I want to get to.
What, it was it Justin Turner?
No. It's a feel-good story. I got a feel-good story.
Okay. Are we saving Justin Turner for Sunday? Sunday, 8 to 10 a.m., by the way.
Yeah, we'll be here.
Okay.
We'll talk sports.
Are we going to talk Justin Turner?
Bring me...
You heard me.
What was that?
His dumb idea.
Well, Justin Turner has an idea for baseball and how they could fix extra inning games. We'll see if that makes it into my bag home with me, and if I'll bring it back for Sunday. We'll see if we can address that on Sunday. Maybe we'll have to do a Periscope video or a Instagram Live video tomorrow and discuss Justin Turner and his ideas. Your face. And his ideas for baseball.
If I'm getting on Instagram Live, it is not going to be talk about Justin Turner.
Okay, there's news breaking. You teased me with some Bears information.
Okay,
here.
So it's so much like the Dwayne Wade tweet saying, I know someone about the Bulls. Louis Riddick, 5 minutes ago, tweeted, anyone listen to the Bears press conference today with the emoji of like the side eye, like smirky face emoji. I don't know how to describe this emoji.
Side eye smirky face.
Side eye smirk face.
Okay, yeah.
And we know, if you know the tree, Louis Riddick knows Matt Nagy.
Yeah.
Is tight with Matt Nagy.
Yeah.
Knows, has been saying for months that Trubisky ain't the guy. He was wrong. He admits it. You guys make mistakes. It's okay to make mistakes.
Right.
He was wrong about Trubisky, right? And now he's like, all right, now bring in Foles. Because he knows what he's doing. He knows the system, knows the offense. And if you know who Louis Riddick knows,
mm-hmm.
and who he is tight with.
Yeah, from Philadelphia.
And then he tweets out, anyone listen to the Bears press conference today, side-eye smirky face.
So let me ask you this. Is he throwing shade at the fact that they're having an open competition? Is he throwing shade at Ryan Pace for just being the Bears GM, and that's a spot that maybe one announcer would perhaps maybe like to move into, that spot someday down the road where he has a quarterback he's comfortable with and a head coach that he's very tight with? Like, where is the side-eyed smirky face?
The
or is it just a, I told you so, type of tweet.
The side-eye smirk face is Lewis Riddick and I thinking alike, okay. Knowing that there is
no competition.
Infinite universes in the world.
Right.
Or in the universes. There are infinite universes in the infinite galaxies in the universe, whatever. Infinite galaxies in the universe.
Sure.
And in every single galaxy, one thing is constant. Nick Foles will never lose a quarterback competition to Mitchell Trubisky.
So it's just a, I told you so,
yeah,
Nick Foles
it
will
was
be.
A, it was a, yeah, guess what?
Okay.
Bears have a new quarterback. That's what I think it is. I can't speak for Lewis Riddick, but that's what I'm.
Okay, so my theory of the second option of maybe he's saying like, hey, look at this GM over here. Did you hear what he had to say today?
No, yeah. I don't think it's that.
Yeah,
I don't
smirky think- face, side eye. What do you think of this guy? Maybe I should be the GM. You're telling me it's not that?
I don't think Lewis would do that.
A little side-eye, smirky face? I should be that guy.
I think it's a more of Nagy's getting what he wants. Of this Nagy's getting what he wants here.
Well, that's a boring tweet. I don't care about that.
No, that's got a side-eye, smirky face.
Yeah, give me more intrigue than that.
In the hierarchy of emojis, the side-eye, smirk face is right there with the side-eyes alone.
Well, if he's truly giving us a I-told-you-so tweet... With this information?
I don't think it's an I told you so.
I think
so.
He should have thrown it back and given us a frog and some tea and sip on
no,
the tea.
He can't give you frog and tea.
I told you guys
he
this.
He can't give you frog and tea because he was wrong. He initially was wrong. You and I can frog and tea all day. I've been drinking tea all day. I'm hydrated and caffeinated. You know why? Because I've been sipping tea all day.
During this quarantine, that's all I'm drinking.
Tea.
It's all I do is sip tea.
Different kinds of tea.
I mean, you heard it here first.
Not been a quarantine. It's been a quarantine.
Hit it again.
Are you serious with that? I want you to hit it. Thank you. One of the screens just went dark in here because it dislikes the
one of the
jokes.
Worst jokes I've ever heard in my life.
It's the best.
That was terrible. You know, some shows do the "you heard it here first," right? Here's a sports take coming at you. We really did tell you first that Trubisky was terrible.
Been telling you for days, months, years.
I think the side eye smirky face might be because he wants to be GM.
I think he does want to be a GM inside. I know
Bears.
He wants to be a GM. I don't know if he wants to be a GM for the Bears.
I think he might.
But I know that Lewis Riddick wants to be in the front office somewhere.
I think he might.
I'm just telling you, the side where you rank in the hierarchy of emojis where you're trying to instigate the or you're trying to throw shade or whatever you want to do or do when I told you so, of course the frog tea is one. The side eye is maybe two, and the smirky face is right up there. It's three, at least.
Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. We'll be back on Sunday from 8 to 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Thanks to Sean Davis for producing the show tonight. So I wanted to end on this story because, listen, a lot of stuff sucks right now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there are some good stories, and I feel like it's important to point out the good stories. And especially for someone who I think the opinion of many is that this guy is a clown. And I think it's important to point this out. Did you see what Joel Embiid is doing?
Yes.
Right now? So he's working with the 76ers ownership group to get antibody tests for healthcare workers. Joel Embiid is establishing a funding campaign for COVID-19 antibody testing for frontline healthcare workers through Penn Medicine. He told ESPN on Friday, a week after publicly pressuring Sixers ownership to reverse course on a plan to cut organizational salaries by 20%, Embiid is joining with a team of managing partner Joe Harris and co-managing partner David Blitzer on a $1.3 million contribution to fund testing for 1,000 healthcare workers in the region. So Joel Embiid is going out of his way to not only pledge $500,000 of his own money for medical relief efforts, but he is also taking up on his own to contact Dr. David T. Martin and Dr. Brian Sennett from Penn Medicine to fund antibody testing as one of the highest priorities in this fight against the coronavirus and its potential to lessen the need for personal protective equipment. Basically, Joel Embiid, what he's done during this quarantine is he has read a lot of information. He has kind of sifted through everything and tried to figure out what is the best way to support those on the front lines. And I just think it's important to note this because I think a lot of people see Joel during the NBA season. Mm-hmm. He is unlike most players in the league. He doesn't usually go with social norms in the NBA. A lot of guys are afraid to say things. A lot of guys don't kind of brag about themselves openly. Joel does that stuff. He's fun. He's a character in the league. I think some people sometimes point to him as being a clown, right? And you see some of the antics on the court, in the game, and sometimes in those press conferences that he has. This is really good stuff from Joel Embiid, though.
Look, man, you and I come in and we talk about sports and we come in every day. We're still going to work. We're one of the few people, the few organizations that's still coming to work, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people are at home. I can't imagine what it's like going to work every day, like knowing that you're trying to help people, but also knowing that you're putting yourself at risk with every person you try to treat and how that affects families and how, you know, like the mayor opened up a bunch of hotels, more hotels today for workers to stay at, for nurses and doctors to stay at if they're afraid to go home to their family. Imagine being afraid to go home to your family because you don't want them to get the virus. It's insane. Like it's affecting so many people. And this is such a good gesture by Joel Embiid. And you're right. These things need to be highlighted. For everything that is bad that is going on, there needs to be stories like this that are highlighted to make people feel uplifted.
The full story is on ESPN.com. And Joel talked about the immunity and how if you could help and get the people on the front lines immune to the virus, then obviously they can help others. And like Abdallah said, he was thinking about them having to go back to their families. It's good stuff. Check it out. We'll talk to you Sunday.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.